This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Give it away, give it away now.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. It's good to have you with us this Tuesday morning as we continue to track the fallout from the financial crisis. Part psychological, and then there's home values. The Conference Board reports this morning that consumer confidence has plunged to its lowest level in 41 years. To understand why, consider another report out this morning. Home prices were down in August more than 16% from a year before. They've dropped more than 20% in the last 2 years. Out of 20 cities surveyed, only two of them saw home prices rise from July to August, Boston and Cleveland. As home prices go down, foreclosures are coming up, and that has the U.S. government considering helping out some mortgage holders. After all, they've already bailed out banks. Insurance companies are asking for their share. And as Nancy Marshall Genzer tells us now, it looks like U.S. automakers will get money from Washington, too.
One possibility is a $5 billion loan to help GM and Chrysler merge. The money would come from the $25 billion in loans for the auto industry approved by Congress. And the automakers' financing arms might be eligible for help under the $700 billion bailout package. Why would the government step in? The Center for Automotive Research says for each auto manufacturing job, there are 7.5 jobs with companies that do business with the automakers. The center also estimates it would cost the government more than $100 billion if GM or Ford went bankrupt. That's because of pension obligations the government would be on the hook for and because auto workers would be getting unemployment. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
As I said earlier, the U.S. government has already lent a hand to banks, and it's not alone. Major European Union countries have put price tags on their bailout packages, all except Italy. The Italian government is only making money available to banks on a per-need basis. As Megan Williams reports, that is not sitting well with the country's teachers and students.
Italy's national debt is more than 100% of the country's GDP. That's way above limits imposed by the European Union. As the Italian government moves to bail out its banks, it also has to shrink its debt. Italy wants to do this by cutting education spending. If it gets its way, 15% of teachers' jobs and $10 billion a year will be sliced from schools. Protesting Italians, more than 2 million of them this week in Rome, are asking why the government has set no limits to bank bailouts and yet is cutting education. They'll be asking that same question again later this week during a national school strike. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Wall Street is bouncing back so far this morning. The Dow is up 94 points, just over a percent. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 are both up about 0.7%. Asian markets rebounded strongly today. Major European markets are also on the upside so far today.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. By the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world. Online at shrm.org. And by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about the economy at Gather.com.
How are you supposed to feel these days if you're in the renewable energy business? There's been a big push for new energy sources. It comes from high oil prices and Mideast tensions and climate change. But oil has gotten cheaper now. That hurts the renewable business. It's also harder to borrow money these days to expand production and research. As Mitchell Hartman reports, a newly opened solar cell plant in Portland, Oregon, is trying to take all these developments in stride.
How big is the biggest solar manufacturing plant in the Western Hemisphere? Well, SolarWorld VP Bob Beisner walked me down one corridor a quarter mile long at one end.
This is our growing room floor. We melt down raw polysilicon at 1400 degrees centigrade. Then
at the other end of the plant, 100,000 solar cells, each about the size of a CD case, will come off the line every day. That's as much solar energy capacity as the entire U.S. produced back in 2003. Bob Beisner is American, but his boss isn't. SolarWorld is a German company. Its biggest global competitors are Kyocera, Sanyo, and Sharp from Japan, and Qcell, another German firm. Mark Tarpening scopes out renewable energy prospects for a Silicon Valley venture capital firm. He says countries like Germany and Japan are way ahead.
Other countries say, for the next 20 years, here are the investment tax credits or the feed-in tariffs or whatever it is that they're using to stimulate alternative energy.
That's given foreign businesses the edge up until now, but the outlook for solar entrepreneurs here has improved with Congress's extension of renewable energy tax credits for 8 more years. That's good timing because the solar industry faces a squeeze right now, with financing tougher to come by and oil prices down from historic highs. SolarWorld's Bob Beisner says his company has invested hundreds of millions of dollars in solar production.
This is what drives the cost of solar down, so that actually, in the not-distant future, we'll be at a grid parity, that it would cost you about the same amount of money to get a solar array up as it would to be buying it from your local utility.
When could we reach that point? Ron Pernick crunched the numbers for his research firm, Clean Edge. He says in some places, we're already there.
If I live in San Diego and I'm paying 28, 32 cents per kilowatt hour, solar can look pretty good, especially if I get some rebates from California, which are available, and a tax credit. Then it's already at cost parity.
Pernick predicts cost parity nationwide as early as 2012. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Google has settled a class action lawsuit over its book scanning project. Several universities agreed to let Google scan their libraries and make the texts fully searchable online, but the Authors Guild and the Association of American Publishers sued, saying that violates copyright protections. This morning, Google said it will pay $125 million. Part of that will go to create a book rights registry to let copyright holders register their work so they can get a cut of internet ad revenue and online book sales. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is giving up its gains from earlier in the morning. The Dow is now up 31 points. The Nasdaq up 2 points, and the S&P 500 has turned 2 points to the negative side. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy the day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.